Oh, man. AJ, thank you so much. And welcome, everybody. Lovely to see you today. In fact, a book, I'm going to talk about a book to start with, but not the book I commend you to read that's out there. It's one of the probably one of the current best-selling books on Amazon, so you might be able to find it fairly easy if you look at the trends section. It's called How Not to Die. How Not to Die by a guy called Michael Greger. He's a lecturer, he's a physician, he's an author, and he's keen in this book, How Not to Die, to promote good nutritional lifestyle so you don't succumb to heart disease, cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, high blood pressure, and so on. Do you know, I have one important problem with his theory. Yes, good nutrition is wise, and I have to say fast foods are often not good for us. But you will die. I'm very sorry to say that, but you will die one day. Nobody doesn't die. Well, I mean, Jesus, well, he died, but then he rose again, so that's slightly different. But nobody else doesn't die. So the book's title is wrong. You know, how can you have How Not to Die? It's impossible. So what he should have written, Greger should have written, is a book entitled How to Live Longer or How to Live Well. And you know that doesn't quite so exciting, is it, when you think how to live longer sounds a bit. So good nutrition, healthy lifestyle options, yeah, they'll help you live longer. But I'm very sorry, you will die. You will die. So how do we live well? Given that we have a finite span, how do we make the most of that span? And people have all sorts of ideas and get lost in them. You know, they believe it's about making as much money as you can, or they want to be as famous as they can, or they want to ride every thrill they can get, or basically look after number one above everybody else. But none of those will mean that you will live well. But today is the day that Christians thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the very presence and power of Jesus in a believer's life. Yes, of course, we don't always let that power and presence show. Of course, we fail, slip up and fall and all the rest of it. But today, we still want to thank God for the gift of that Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, the very presence and the power of Jesus in our lives. Because Jesus promised to empower his disciples with his living presence, the Holy Spirit, that very Spirit of Jesus living in them. And the Holy Spirit is given that they, the disciples, and we, all who follow afterwards, might live well, that our lives might reveal Jesus's wonderful presence in us and through us, that Jesus living in us might be living and active in this world through those who believe. We shouldn't desperately grab at how not to die, but ask ourselves how to live well. The Holy Spirit, that loving, active presence and power of Jesus, is the power and presence to help us live well. Well, how can that be? I've just got a little screen share for you this evening. There we go. That is my talk in one for you. So if you just read that, you can sign off now. But I wouldn't, but I'd just stay a little bit longer. It'd be quite nice. So the first thing I want to say is, how can that be? It is the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of faith. Did you see in that reading we had read by Amy, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, the first work of the Holy Spirit is to bring about faith in Jesus, to declare that Jesus is Lord, to acknowledge and live with Jesus as your leader, friend, saviour, redeemer. As I said, there are many ways you can live. Make lots of money, be famous, live for that thrill and adrenaline. There are many world views out there as well, aren't there? Competing ideas about how to live. But the Holy Spirit convicts that there is only one. There's only one way to heaven, one truth to be sure of, one life that can give eternal life, and it is all found in Jesus. And it's not about rules and regulations, but it's about a conviction that following in the footsteps of Jesus, living with the same love, grace, and understanding of that Jesus, we build a relationship with him that grows and deepens as we spend time with him. So the first gift of the Holy Spirit is actually faith, the gift of faith. The next gift is the gift of God's presence. Jesus said at the very end of the story that Matthew told about in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 20, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, with the gift of faith comes the gift of his living presence in your life. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. He is there in the good times, though experience tells me we rarely remember that, actually. And there, he's there in the bad times. And again, my own experience convinces me of that. When pain, hurt, sorrow, disaster come, you know, we're not immune from that as followers of Jesus. But we do have him by our side. He never leaves us. There's a very famous poem out there called Footprints in the Sand, and do look it up. There is an earlier version of it. It is slightly different, written in 1978. It seems to be the earliest recorded version. And in this, it says this, it puts it this way. "An elderly man who had lived his life and left this world to go and meet his maker asked the Lord a question. As I'm looking down on the paths I've trod, I see two sets of footprints on the easy paths. But down the rocky roads, I see only one set of footprints. Tell me, Lord, why did you let me go down all those hard paths alone?" The Lord smiled and simply replied, "Oh, my son, you've got that all wrong. I carried you over those hard paths." The gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of God's presence. So the gift of faith, the gift of God's presence, also the gift of freedom. Paul, who wrote 1 Corinthians, also wrote a letter to the Roman church. And in chapter 8 of that letter, verse 13, it says, "If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." The Holy Spirit helps the follower of Jesus to be liberated from the usual desires and passions that consume us, that enslave us in a way, that drive and direct us, and we have no seeming control over them. Now, we do need a bit of honesty here, a bit of tough honesty, don't we? Each person knows, but they may not tell another, that within themselves there is a war of desires. We feel urged to reach out and seize what can gratify our passions and desires, to live, as Paul put it in that letter to Romans, according to the flesh. Most of the time, we both say no to those passions and we say yes to those passions. We say it's important to be true to my very self, who I am, what my passions, my instincts are, my inner desires. But, you know, for example, if our inner passion urges us to be angry all the time, why is it actually better to restrain ourselves? The gift of the Holy Spirit can free us from the slavery to those passions and desires. They don't help us to live well. We're invited as followers of Jesus to put aside those human passions and human desires and to mould our living on the way of Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of freedom from that slavery. So we've got the gift of faith, the gift of presence, the gift of freedom, and now the gift of teaching. Jesus himself said, recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 14, "The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." How to live well daily means we have to learn. It doesn't come naturally to us. Yes, there are times when a person's response to something is clearly godly. I mean, I think of all the volunteers who've assisted the poor and struggling in this pandemic. You know, it doesn't need Christian faith to do good. What I think is happening then, of course, is that we're all made in the image of God, whether we are followers of Jesus or not. And sometimes that image of God leaks out of us. Much charity work is, you know, it's not in our interest to be charitable in one sense, but it reflects that image of God, that love for the other in all of us. Of course, sometimes that image is twisted and broken by our human nature, and we cry over the inhumanity of charity workers who abused and oppressed others, we read about a few years ago. But the Holy Spirit teaches us to live well, indeed how to love well. It's about faith seeking understanding. It's through the eyes of faith that greater understanding of God's ways is known. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of teaching. So faith, presence, freedom, teaching, and the gift of guidance. In that same Gospel of John, the story that John wrote, one of Jesus' followers, chapter 16 says this: when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And if we want to live wisely, we all need good guidance. We may find that in books and self-help guides. I mean, indeed, eating and living nutritiously, as Michael Grigio in his book, How Not to Die, is good guidance. We also want to live wisely in relation to God. There are so many things we could or may or might do, but how do we choose? Well, Jesus doesn't leave us without help. I'm not saying that hearing that guidance is easy. Well, it's not. I find it's not. But it does come in a variety of ways. And the good news is there for living well, that guidance is at hand. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of guidance. Then we've got the gift of service. There are different kinds of gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12, our reading said there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now, I'm going to be brief for these last ones. Our reading listed a number, it's not an exhausted number of ways, in which we are all invited and perhaps called, in that our response to God's love is shown in putting our faith into action. We're all invited to serve God's purposes in so many different ways. The Holy Spirit gives the gift of service. Holy Spirit gives the gift of personal growth. Galatians chapter 5, another letter that Paul wrote, he said this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the type of personal growth that surely any normal person would like to have. Would you like to be more loving? Would you like to be more joyful? Would you like to have more peace? Would you like to model more patience, kindness, and goodness? Or what about faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? No? I suspect actually yes. Most people want to model that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in their lives. They would love that more of that was there. The Holy Spirit gives that gift of personal growth. And the gift of unity. 1 Corinthians 12 again, back to Paul's letter and our reading. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. No matter who you are, Paul is saying, we form one body by one Spirit. You know, in a world so dominated by difference and division, part of God's great plan for his creation is to bring people together. People who may be usually irreconcilable, usually on the opposite ends, are able to come together under the Holy Spirit. It becomes less about me and my tribe and more about you and our joint bond under Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit gives the gift of unity. So then, how would you like to live well? In our world, you have a multitude of choices for which we can feather our nest or pamper our ego or indulge our desires. They're all for you, aren't they? How would you like to live well? The Holy Spirit is offered to those who follow Jesus, that they can live life well, not just for themselves, but also for those around them. Wouldn't you like to be someone who knows the best way to live? Who senses Jesus' presence day by day, who's freed from slavery to our human passions, who's aware of right living, seeks to walk within it, knows the joy of serving others, of being a blessing to those around them, who believes and lives and sees greater unity across our diverse world. Well, then it can all begin now. Because when we respond yes to that Holy Spirit nudge to say, Jesus is Lord, then we begin the journey of a life lived well. Do you need to do that, even tonight, to let that Holy Spirit nudge of, you know, Jesus is Lord. Come, live life well with Jesus. Do you need to do that tonight, to respond to that and say, yes, you are Lord? I'm going to say a prayer now, which you can echo in your heart. And if you want to say, yes, I want that, then say amen when I've finished. So let's pray, shall we? Holy Spirit, we thank you for these gifts that you give us. The gift of faith, the gift of presence, of freedom, of teaching, of guidance, of growth and of unity. We rejoice in that, and we offer ourselves and pray that, knowing that all that Jesus has done for us, that you will send your Holy Spirit, help us to say Jesus is Lord day by day and year by year. For the sake of Jesus we pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer and you would want to have a further conversation with me about what next steps to take, then just contact me at the church here, info@ccbedford.org, info@ccbedford.org. I'd be really happy to have a further conversation with you. Thank you, AJ.